maybe, you know, we cut last week because it was really too long for two parts, right? So maybe you get two little over halves, and that's not bad. Buster, you're not upset about that, are you, buddy? I saw a smile on your face. So let's stay together. Last Sunday, Carrie has gotten where in the morning, on Sunday morning, she plays Bluegrass Gospel, which is, I mean, remember, Jesus was from the hills of Nazareth. That's all I'm saying. Judy. That's enough, isn't it, hon? So, which is good music. And so we're going to listen to a song in just a few minutes, which is a little different than we do. But it just struck me as I was listening to this song, it took me back to the story of Daniel. And I want us to talk about that this morning in light of what's going on in the book of Acts. Because what do we see in the book of Acts, in the Apostle Paul, in the other followers of Jesus, in the disciples that choose to follow, we just see that they are dealing with persecution, aren't they? Some of it is governmental, but not that much. Most of it is a result of the crowds, of the people. And we're going to continue to see that throughout the book of Acts. And as I pointed out to you before many, many times, is the arguments are really the same that we hear today. And I'm not talking about against Christianity, but against anybody we disagree with. Anybody we disagree with, we begin to hear these same arguments. And it is, we vilify the individual, correct? Isn't that what you hear? How many of you have quit watching the news on a regular basis? I have. I mean, I grew up, my dad came home, and we fought over NBC Nightly News with David Brinkley and John Chancellor and Sesame Street. Because then you only had one television set, right? We didn't have one in every room and all of those things. You had one and it sat in the den. And, you know, and I lost most of the time. Excuse me. And rightly so, because, you know, I learned a lot listening to David Brinkley and John Chancellor on the NBC Nightly News. It was 30 minutes. If you'll remember, the news, that came on at 5:30. The Channel 4 news came on at 6 and went off at 6:30. Then it started going to 7. But when I was little, you got from 5:30 to 6:30, and that was your news. It wasn't 24/7. It was 5:30 to 6:30, and you got the news. And so you kind of got the facts, because they just had 30 minutes, you know. And then you did have Pat Sajak that was in Nashville who would give you some colorful things, you're right, and Huell Hauser. Remember those? Remember those guys? Huell Hauser's still doing, he's in California doing a thing. But they would do kind of human interest. But it was pretty much 30 minutes, you just got the news. But now what do we get? We get very little news and lots of opinion. It's just lots of opinion. And it is always vilifying whoever I disagree with. I mean, that's what we are, right? We vilify whoever I disagree with. Very little is our argument based on the merits of the argument. It is, we personify a view. We place somebody in as the champion of that view, and then we vilify the champion. That's what we do. But this is the same thing that's happening in the book of Acts. That's not new. They vilify Paul. They vilify Silas. They vilify the followers, if you look in Acts 17, but this is not unique to Acts 17. We vilify them. So we're going to the leaders. We get everybody storing up. When I say those who disagree, and most of it is over, what's the word? Jealousy. It's over jealousy, right? Because all of a sudden people aren't agreeing with me and my group and my view. They're agreeing with somebody else. So I have to vilify, right? Just take it out of the political realm. How often has Walmart been vilified? you know, for not paying enough, for buying stuff in foreign countries, all that thing, because they came in and changed people's buying habits, right? But here's the funny thing. Why is nobody upset about Amazon? They just don't have the stores that you see, right? It comes on the UPS truck and nobody notices. I just think it's funny. It's funny as Amazon is becoming the world's largest retailer. But we don't see the same thing. Because why? We don't see it. Things have already changed, right? But that's just what we do. The same thing's happening. They go to the leaders because they're jealous and they stir them up. And they can't say, we disagree with them over religious matters, because the Romans are going to say, okay, what's that mean to me? Right? They don't care. They can't say, hey, I'm unhappy because I had all these groups following me and now they're following them and they make me feel bad. And the Romans are going to say, so what do they say? These folks have stirred, have caused trouble all over the world. And now they've come here. They're troublemakers from way back. And now they've come here, and what are they doing? They're telling us there's another king besides Caesar. Now, the Romans are going to pay attention, right? Because if you're in charge and the word gets to Rome that you're letting these people speak against Caesar and cause an insurrection, that's a good way to lose your job. Because what two things you got to do? Keep peace and collect taxes. That's your job. Keep the peace, collect taxes. And so, man, it starts coming where you're not keeping the peace. Somebody else is going to come in. So they get everybody stirred up. So try to avoid a riot. They get the Romans involved. And they go in to arrest, as we've seen, Paul and Silas, Barnabas at times. They're actually going into Jason's house now where they stay. They're going to bring them out and arrest them because they've let them stay there, trying to run them off, trying to defeat them because they cannot beat them on the merits of the argument, right? So we'll try to defeat them another way. We'll try to defeat them another way. But that's not new either. And it hasn't become old. It hasn't become old. And that's why it's relevant to us. Because those same things will happen to us as Christians as our discussion moves further and further from what the world desires. Right? Because that's what's happened here. There's actually religious conflict is causing a lot of this among the Jews at this point. But we're going to get to Ephesus and what's going to happen. You remember what happens in Ephesus? Do you remember who the goddess of Ephesus is? Little quiz. I'm not in the pulpit. Diana or Artemis? But Diana, right? And they got a temple to Diana. All right? So the Christians come in and they start saying, Diana's not God. Jehovah's God, right? And you know what? That really didn't stir that many people up, I don't think. At least Luke doesn't record that for us. What got them stirred up? Do you remember? Remember what gets them stirred up? Who gets stirred up? Not the priest of Diana who say, hey, we're going to defend our goddess. What got them stirred up? Huh? The silversmiths, Carl, that's right. Those who were selling idols. Whoa! If Diana is no longer the goddess, and these guys are saying don't make graven images, guess what? Rob, the housing market is going down the drain. And I got inventory, right? This is what I do. This is how I make a living. And I'm not going to be able to make a living if people start following them. So, what do? They stirred the people up against Paul basically on economic reasons. But whatever those reasons are, they stir them up. What happens in the time of Esther? Remember what happened in the time of Esther? That's why they said new. They're going to persecute the Jews, right? The decree goes out in the time of Esther to kill all the Jews. Why? Do you remember what motivated that? What motivated that? Why would the king put out that decree? Come on, think about the book of Esther. Not long. Huh? They were different, but what motivated them? It was not their theology. Jealousy of one man. Haman, remember? Because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him like everybody else did. And Mordecai is a Jew. And so he says, boom, I'm going to get rid of Mordecai and all of them. Isn't that interesting how that occurred? Now, it backfired, didn't it? Because God did what? God protected his people. And that's an important lesson for us. God protected his people. What happens in the book of Daniel? We got two very important events that occur in the book of Daniel. The first of those has to do with three guys. And their names are Meshach and Abednego, right? Which is interesting because that is their Babylonian names. And who was their friend? Which is his Hebrew name. He's Belteshazzar. Isn't it funny how we remember him by his Hebrew name and the other three by their Babylonian names? I always thought that's just interesting. I guess because the book's named Daniel. If it had been named Belteshazzar, we'd probably call him Belteshazzar today, right? Or like they said, and his mama called him Daniel, I call him Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember what happens to them? It's the fiery furnace. You remember the story of the fire? I'm not going to assume everybody knows the story of the fiery furnace. They're going to get thrown in a fiery furnace. They get thrown in a fiery furnace. But do you remember why? They won't bow down to the idol, right? They say, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to make the excuse that I'm bowing down, but I don't mean it. They said, we're not going to bow down. When the music plays and the king has said, everybody bow down, we're not bowing down. We're not even going to give the appearance that we're worshiping this idol. So they stand there and they're out on this plain. You know, I picture a sand dune. I don't know, I mean, not a sand dune, but a sand flats. I don't know why, but that's just a picture I get. And so, you know, if everybody's down and you're up, there ain't no hiding. All right, there's no hiding. And so they refuse to bow. They said, we're not bowing. They get warned, we're not bowing. And they don't. And so throwing people in the fire was not unique. All right, but this time they stoked the fires up. The fires are so hot that the guards who are throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire leaps out and kills them. That being a guard, was not a great thing. You know, there's a lot of pressure to that deal, as we see in the Bible, a lot of pressure to that deal. But it kills them. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking in the fire, and then a fourth figure, like the Son of Man, Daniel says for us, is walking in the fire with them. And they're not burned. Their clothes aren't burned. Their hair's not singed. Does anything smell worse than your hair getting singed? And it says they don't even smell like smoke. But they knew what was going to happen when they didn't bow down. And what did they say? They said, our God can save us, right? But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. We know he can, But even if he chooses not to, we're not going to bow down to that idol. And so they come out, not even singed, not even smelling like smoke. God saved them, right? And then there's old Daniel. And people hated Daniel. The folks that worked with Daniel hated Daniel. Because you know what the Bible says about Daniel? This is really a wonderful thing. It's really a wonderful thing. It says, not only was he competent, he was competent, but that he did his best to take care of the king's business. All right, he worked in the king's offices, if you will. All right? And not only is he intelligent, but he does his best. And whatever he does it right. He's not stealing from the king. He's not saying this is good enough. He excels. He is competent, and he excels at doing the very best that he can do. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, that's what we should strive to do. Not just say, well, that's good enough. And sometimes I've been told this, and I do not know from my own experience, but if you're a little smarter than everybody else, you can kind of coast a little, right? Because it just comes easier to you, right? But Daniel didn't coast because he was really more competent. He dedicated himself to doing the best he could. And the guys that were around him said, hey, what happened to the close enough for government work mentality? And they didn't like him. And so, but hey, guess what? They did audits. They talked to all of his co-workers. He hadn't harassed anybody. He hadn't taken money. Y'all need to understand this. He was a eunuch, so the Me Too movement really wasn't that impactful on old Daniel. But some of y'all will get that later. It'll be all right. You'll chuckle this afternoon. Oh! But they couldn't find anything on which to accuse him. So they make up a law. They go to the king with what? Flattery. Right? With flattery. I'm giving you way more detail than you need for the point of the message, but you need to know how it works. Because this works today. This happens today. They go to the king with flattery. And they say, what? King, you are wonderful. Now, they're not these great guys. And they're probably not all that great bad about the king. And they'd probably steal from him if they got half a chance. But they couldn't do it with old Daniel. King, you are wonderful. You know, you're so wonderful. We just need to worship you. So, King, we just think you need to pass a law, King. We want to honor you so much that for this period of time that if anybody prays to or worships anything or anybody but you, they need to be put to death. And sometimes people in power, it's hard to be humble, isn't it? And the king, instead of seeing through it, that's a wonderful idea. That is fantastic. You're right. I need to be worshipped. And so they know that Daniel prays every day, right? Daniel prays every day. So they'll just say, hey, we'll hang out when this law is passed. We'll catch old Daniel praying. And that'll end our problems with Daniel. Now, for those of you who've been here, I've shared this with you before. Understand something. This is really important. We sing with our young people about the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? That there's an Old Testament with 39 books and a New Testament with 27 books for 66 total books in the Bible. And there's the Old and the New, and the Old came first and the New is about Jesus. Well, Daniel is in the Old Testament, okay? The reason I tell you that, Jesus and his teachings are in the New Testament. And so Jesus teaches us about praying in secret and going into our closet. And that would be after Daniel. I just want you to know that. But were I Daniel in that time, I might have kept praying. But I'm not sure I'd have gone to my open window like I always did. I believe I could have convinced myself that the closet was good enough, right? Or I could kind of bow my head a little bit riding in the chariot and pray, because God knows my heart, right? Now, let's be honest. Are those not the kind? We might not stop praying, but that decree and the threat of death would probably do what to most of us? It would force us more into secret. You don't have to raise your hand about that, but I'll be honest with you, I would fight that. And my guess is I would have great difficulty not giving into that. To say, I'm going to pray, but I'm going to do it in secret because Jesus said, go into the closet. And I'm going in the closet. And I'm going to look around and make sure nobody's looking when I go in the closet. But Daniel doesn't do that. Daniel doesn't stop praying. And Daniel doesn't hide it. Daniel goes right back to the window and he prays. Paul and Silas and the first century Christians. We've got Peter and John. Remember Peter and John earlier in Acts? We've already studied this. Where the judge says, hey, I'm going to let you go, but don't you preach anymore. Don't you talk about this Jesus anymore. Don't do it. And you remember what Peter and John's response was? Judge, you got to do what you think's right, but we're going to do what we think's right, and we're going to follow Jesus. You know, you've got to make your judgment, but we've got to do what we know to be right. Whatever that cost is, we're going to pay that cost to follow Jesus. And Paul knows in following Jesus there's going to be imprisonment, there's going to be beatings, there's going to be shipwrecks, but he does it anyway because he trusts in God. Now, I am going to do something that we don't normally do. We're going to watch a video of a song. And if you want to go home, I chose the non-instrumental version of this. Not making a big deal. I just thought that was best. Plus the words are clear. But if you really like this song, which I really do, Ricky Skaggs has a great version of the song with a girl singer, and I cannot think of her name to save my life. But it's outstanding. And you can Google it and it will come up. But the song is "Oh, Daniel Prayed." And I want you to listen to the words of this because it moved me. How did Daniel pray? How did Daniel pray? And we're going to talk about it. But this is a great old bluegrass gospel song. And I'm not sure who this group is, but they do a good job.
I read about a man one day who wasted not his time away. He prayed to God.
He prayed to God.
Every morning, noon and night. He cared not for the things of Baal. Trusted one, you'll never fail. But Daniel prayed.
Oh, Daniel prayed.
Every morning, noon and night.
Oh, Daniel served his living God while upon this earth he tried.
He prayed to God.
He prayed to God.
Every morning, noon and night.
He cared not for the king's decree, but trusted God to set him free.
Oh, Daniel prayed.
Oh, Daniel prayed.
Every morning, noon and night. They cast him in a lion's den because he would not honor men, but he prayed to God.
He prayed to God.
Every morning, noon and night. The jaws were locked, it made him shout. God soon brought him safely out. But Daniel prayed.
Oh, Daniel prayed.
Every morning, noon and night.
Oh, Daniel served his living God while upon this earth he trod.
He prayed to God.
He prayed to God.
Every morning, noon and night.
He cared not for the king's decree, because the Lord would set him free.
Daniel prayed.
Oh, Daniel prayed.
Every morning, noon and night. Now, brother, let us watch and pray like Daniel did from day to day. He prayed to God.
He prayed to God.
Every morning, noon and night. Two can gladly dare and do. Grab a God, he'll take us through. But Daniel prayed.
Oh, Daniel prayed.
Every morning, noon and night.
Oh, Daniel served his living God while upon this earth he trod.
He prayed to God.
He prayed to God.
Every morning, noon and night.
He cared not for the king's decree, because the Lord would set him free.
Oh, Daniel prayed.
Oh, Daniel prayed.
Every morning, noon and night.
Patti Loveless and Ricky Skaggs. It's tremendous, but it's a wonderful song. It's a wonderful song. But what does it say? Why did Daniel pray? Because he trusted God to set him free. Right? It says he cared not for the king's decree. He trusted God to set him free. Daniel prayed every morning, noon, and night. You know, Daniel knows that the punishment is the lion's den. That's the lion's den. And the deal, what happens in the lion's den? The lions eat you up savagely, because that's exactly what's going to happen to the folks who tried to kill Daniel. Same thing happens in the book of Esther, which is a whole other lesson. But Daniel trusted God. He served God while he was living, and he trusted God. How does Paul and the apostles and how do the first century Christians do what they do? Because they trusted God to deliver them. They trusted God to deliver them. So, how do we in the 21st century face the trials, the temptations, and the persecutions that might come our way? The same way. The same way. While what we face may be different, the same thing applies to us, is do we trust God to deliver us? Do we trust God to deliver us? Understanding, and this is an important lesson that I think we need to be reminded of, that God doesn't change. And sometime in our Western secular culture, of which we have all been raised and we are all a part of, and we cannot help that it is the lens through which we see life. Okay? We often remove God from that, and it becomes about practically what can I do, right? How do I protect myself legally? How do I protect myself physically? On and on. But at the end of the day, individually, as a church, both in a local congregation and worldwide, as a society, who is our ultimate dependent? Who does our dependence have to be on? It has to be on God. Because this was true for Daniel. It was true for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was true for the Jews in the time of Esther. It's true for Paul. It's true for Silas. It's true for Peter. It's true for John. It was true for Israel as a nation, right? Who delivered them from Egypt? God did. Who delivered them into the promised land? God did. And why did they fall into defeat at the hands of the Assyrians and the Philistines and the Babylonians? It was not the superiority of their enemies. It was that they no longer trusted, followed, and depended on God. Bottom line, that's what happened to them. Now, while those followers of Jesus in the first century suffered, and they did, I mean, we're talking about people suffering not only death, but sometimes very painful deaths, right? Tortures and persecutions. They did. They did. Not everybody's delivered from the lion's den and the furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Belteshazzar. But even those Christians, those followers of God who suffered, they knew what? That God was still in control, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if God doesn't deliver us from this, we're still going to follow Him because we know what? God ultimately delivers. God ultimately delivers. The book of Revelation, which sometimes is very difficult, all times is kind of difficult to understand, right? It just is. Because of the way that it's written, but the theme of Revelation is the victory of the saints. It is a book of victory. It is a book of victory that God's people win. That God has ensured the victory. God has ensured the victory. And so we're able to do what God calls us to do and live lives of faith and obedience and evangelism and service, no matter what the external environment is, because God ensures the victory. And God brings about deliverance. Daniel prayed because he trusted God to set him free. That's what Daniel trusted, that God would set him free. And the God of Daniel is the God of each one of us. The God who was active in the lives of the Hebrews is the God who was active in the lives of the apostles and is the God who is active in the lives of His followers today. And so it's about learning to trust God. It's about learning to trust God. How did Paul face what he faced? How did those disciples face what they faced? Because they trusted God. They trusted God. And that's the same call for us, just to learn to trust God. It's difficult, isn't it? But learning to trust God to deliver us. Learning to trust God to deliver us. Joseph was delivered by God, but after multiple years of stress. And the reason I share that story with you is because, like for Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, it's kind of quick, right? But it takes Joseph, it takes years for God to reveal His plan for Joseph, doesn't it? But He does. And Joseph continues to be faithful in the midst of those struggles. It's learning to trust God. Daniel was able not to have to go to the closet, but to go to that window and pray for one reason and one reason only. He trusted God. We need to learn not only to trust God for our salvation, which is so important. It's so important that we trust God for our salvation, but that we learn to trust God every day and in every situation and every persecution, every struggle that comes our way. When we're challenged to go into hiding, you know, which is what Satan would love for us to do, right? If he can't defeat us, if he can at least shut us up. But when we learn to trust God every day, then we'll not worry about the things of man, but we'll only be concerned about the things of God. So let's learn that God is not only active in bringing about our salvation, but He's active in delivering our lives and helping us be what He's called us to be. If you need to come to the cross, will you do that while we stand and sing?